Would you please pray with me? Oh Lord Jesus Christ, as we contemplate these holy acts by which you have redeemed us and all the world, we enter into this holy moment and this holy week with reverence and joy and horror for what you have endured for our sakes. We pray now, Holy Spirit, that you would turn our hearts and our attentions to your word, that you might speak to us and minister to our hearts exactly where we are. Would you be with my feeble words that are not nearly sufficient to comprehend the mystery of what you've done for us? But would you communicate your truth today and give us ears to hear? We ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Holy Week is the most important week of the year for us. I think it's the best week of the year for us. It's one of the most stressful weeks of the year for if you work at a church, but it's the best week. Words aren't sufficient to meditate on and to reflect on and to teach the amazing things that Christ has done for us. Because this is the week where we come face to face with what Jesus has done for us. And to reckon with the cross, to reckon with what drove Jesus there. And to know that we are saved not because of anything we can do, not because of how holy we are, but how the holy God has performed a holy work for our salvation. So we begin here on Palm Sunday with this culmination of Jesus' journey into Jerusalem, this final week of his walking the way of the cross. And if you've been here throughout this Lenten season, you know that we've been preaching through the latter half of the Gospel of Luke as Jesus journeys toward Jerusalem. The whole of the Gospel of Luke is on this trajectory as Luke narrates Jesus' journey, this slow and deliberate march into Jerusalem. He has set his face like flint to go to the one place he knows he's going to die. And so the whole latter half of the book of Luke is about this trajectory, this journey. And now he comes to Jerusalem, and this is the beginning of the end. And as we've been reflecting this past Lenten season on this journey of Jesus to Jerusalem, we've been talking about his invitation to walk the way of the cross along with him, that we are to see our lives of discipleship in parallel to Jesus. His invitation for us in Luke chapter 9 is that whoever would come after me must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. So the Christian life, the daily habitual life of the Christian, is walking in the way of the cross after Jesus. This is to be with Jesus, to be like Jesus, to grow in Jesus. We walk the way that he walked. So for us, the way of the cross in our daily lives is the way of humility, the way of repentance and denying ourselves, of going to the cross where we are crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. We walk the way of the cross with Jesus, and we want to make the aim of our lives to go all the way there with him, even to the point of being hated and despised and mocked. These things we endure in the world for the sake of knowing Jesus and being with him and being like him in every way that we can in this life. So this is the Christian life, the way of the cross. We've been talking about this for 6 weeks now. And Jesus has shown us through this Lenten season that the way of the cross will include temptation. It's walking through a narrow door. It will require of us repentance. It's always aiming toward reconciliation. And last week we talked about how it is rooted in this encounter with Jesus, like Zacchaeus had. So we are walking the way of the cross with Jesus, and now we come to the beginning of the end, this week where Jesus comes to Jerusalem, where he's been aiming for a long time. And now in this coronation parade that we take part in, he shows us exactly where the way of the cross is going. It's going to his death. Amidst the celebration, amidst the glory, amidst the praises, Jesus is going to the cross because this is his glory. And this is our glory. And it's our salvation. So let's look together at Luke chapter 19 and this triumphal entry, triumphal procession, as it's called. Jesus is coming into Jerusalem like a conquering king. And he's drawing upon this culturally recognizable imagery, intentionally designing this parade, this procession, to evoke imagery of him as the Messiah and him as the King of Israel. Palm branches were historically a way in Israel of recognizing someone who's the Messiah, of saying, we're proclaiming this is one who is coming as God's promised one, God's anointed one to rescue Israel. Coming on a donkey, echoing King Solomon's procession up to his enthronement, fulfilling the prophecy of Zechariah 9 that said, the Messiah will come humble and on a donkey, and the colt of a donkey. So Jesus is setting up all these images to evoke very intentionally the idea that he's the king who's coming. He's the Messiah who is coming. And the people are hopeful, they are excited, they are stirred to praise because they're hoping that this is the Messiah that will restore Israel to glory, the one who will unite them as a nation and overthrow their oppressors. So they praise him. They hail him as the Messiah, the coming king. And Jesus does not correct them, but receives it. When Jesus is confronted and telling the people to rebuke them, or to rebuke the people for their praise, Jesus proclaims that if they were silent, even the rocks would cry out. Because all of creation knows what's going on and is testifying to the fact that, yes, this is the King. This is the Messiah. So the people are worshiping and hailing the Messiah of their expectations, excited for the glory and the authority and the might that will come. But the kind of king he is and the kind of glory that he seeks is the glory of the cross, the throne of Calvary, the crown of thorns. And so even as the people are mistaken and not knowing what they're doing, Jesus receives it because there's a deeper truth to what they are doing. He is going to his throne to pick up his crown and to reign, not just over Jerusalem, but the whole world. And it is on the cross that Jesus' kingship is truly revealed. It is on Calvary that the nature of his kingdom is shown most clearly. It is in his suffering that the glory of heaven is proclaimed and displayed to all the world. So this is why Palm Sunday brings both of these readings together. We start off with this very celebratory, high praise of the procession, singing Hosanna, and then we read this account of the crucifixion, the Passion. It's brought together on this day because the people are correct to hail him and praise him, even if they don't know why. We have this odd juxtaposition of praise and sorrow, of glory and shame, of kingship and sacrifice. Jesus brings these together in himself. Because he's showing us what true glory is, what true power and authority is. The world has a lot of ideas, and we have been trained to think of it, all these ideas about what glory looks like, about what victory looks like, about what power and authority looks like. And we're trained, a lot of us, to have this ambition towards glory, towards doing great things in the world. And if we say that someone has ambition, we're saying that that person is striving towards great things, towards the highest values in our world. That's what glory looks like in the world. But for Jesus, his highest value was winning our salvation. His greatest good was reconciling us to the Father. His chief joy was to pour out his life in love for us. And so his highest ambition, that which drove him and compelled him to the cross, was you and was me and was this world that he has come to save. That was his glory. Because that was his great ambition that he was aiming toward. The highest good, the greatest glory. He's showing us that the kingship of Jesus looks like sacrifice. The glory of Jesus looks like humility. The victory of Jesus looks like shame and defeat. Jesus is revealing to us where true glory is found. Jesus is revealing to us the highest of high goods that we can pursue. So in the light of what Jesus is showing us, I want to ask just one question for us to ponder. And maybe this is something for you in your Holy Week disciplines to bring to the Lord. What is your great ambition? What is your glory that your life is aiming toward? What is the good that you are pursuing for your life, your soul, your family, your career? What's the highest good you're pursuing in our society? What's your ambition in this world? What's driving you and toward what end? Because if we are to view our Christian lives and our discipleship in parallel to Jesus, yoking our lives to him by denying ourselves and picking up our cross daily to follow him, then we must walk in the way of the cross along with him. Because Jesus is showing this is the way to glory. This is the ambition that he is calling us toward. This is the highest good that he is pulling us alongside with him toward. In Luke chapter 9, where Jesus gives this great invitation to pick up your cross and follow me, immediately after this, Jesus gives the rationale. He points us along the way to glory. He says in Luke 9, whoever would come after me must pick up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it, will save it, excuse me. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? What will it profit you if you pursue the ambitions of the world? What will it profit you in the end if you seek and pursue the glory of this world? True gain, true profit is to be found in laying down our lives for Jesus' sake. Jesus is saying that if our ambitions, if the glory that our lives are aiming at is of the world and its values, if our ambitions are aiming at our comfort or our security or our happiness by worldly measures, we are actually on the road to losing our souls. If we're on the way of the world, we're in danger of losing and forfeiting our souls. But it's only by losing ourselves, laying down our lives, denying ourselves, being crucified with Christ, that we truly gain the glory that we were aiming for, that we were made for. Here is the freedom that Christ has won for us. Here is the deeper joy that He inspires in us. Here is the greater purpose, the highest purpose that He has shown for us, walking in the way of the cross with Jesus. This alone is what will unite us to Jesus, that will bring us into His new life, that walks through that narrow door that Jesus has opened up for us through His cross. So what is your great ambition? What is your life aiming toward? What is driving you? And toward what end? That's a question I'd love to encourage you to ponder this Holy Week as we walk the way of the cross with Jesus. And He shows us what true glory really is. So, on this Palm Sunday, let's join in the songs of praise, the loud shouts of Hosanna to our Savior as He comes. For if we will not, the very rocks will cry out, and all of creation will sing and celebrate its King. He is coming to reign in us and to reign in this world. He's on the path of glory. He's on the path of dominion, the path of true kingship. But it's the way of the cross. And so as we come to worship, as we come to meet Him and bow down to Him and yield our lives to Him and His ways, let us sing to Him. Let us worship and shout for joy to the King who has come, the one whose throne is the cross, whose crown is of thorns, whose glory is in humility, whose life is in self-sacrifice. And let's follow Him there. I'm going to close with the prayer we prayed at the close of our procession, which is the prayer of Monday and Holy Week. Let's pray. Almighty God, whose most dear Son went not up to joy, but first He suffered pain, and entered not into glory before He was crucified, mercifully grant that we, walking in the way of the cross, may find it none other than the way of life and peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.